Want to keep little hands busy at home? The Home Depot has free kids workshop kits with everything you need to get started. Pick up a new one in-store starting the first Saturday of every month. Then head to homedepot.com/kids for a project guide that's easy to follow along with, plus loads of other kid-friendly content. Kids can't wait to get their hands on them. Find out more at homedepot.com/kids. Free kids workshop kits, only from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. While supplies last, U.S. only.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody. Our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's going to make me want to go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Melissa Jacobs. Melissa is the host of the Football Girl podcast, and she's also a contributor to The Guardian. She previously worked for ESPN and Sports Illustrated. On the program, we discussed the Raiders' impact in Oakland and the transition to Las Vegas. We also discussed the differences between 49ers fans and Raiders fans, and so much more. Melissa is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor. In life, there's no stopping.
Don't stop.
But if you do, make sure no one is behind you.
All clear.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents basic policies starting at $79 a year. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy is not available in all states.
What do you want to da da da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da da da?
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday.
All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no, I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
These days, nothing is normal and everything is weird. But you could still save big when you switch to Progressive. That won't change. Not to da or any da.
Quote to da at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? Mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company.
Pros bring something extra to every job. Now at the Home Depot, they also get something extra. Pro Extra, our free loyalty program built for pros just like you. Members earn perks with every dollar spent, like Pro Extra dollars, a tool rental credit, and more. New members get $20 off their next in-store purchase of $200 or more just for signing up. Learn more at homedepot.com/proextra. New year, more rewards, Pro Extra. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Many affiliates.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash. with a silver hat about his head.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Yes, you hear the late, great John Facenda from NFL Films narrating that infamous piece titled The Autumn Wind. And when you hear that, I think about the mystique of the Raiders, whether it be Oakland or Los Angeles, and now currently in Las Vegas. And I have someone on the program that's going to talk about the impact of the Raiders being in Oakland and the transition to Las Vegas. And we're also going to talk about some future Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Let's welcome her to the program. She is the host of the TFG podcast, the Football Girl podcast, Melissa Jacobs. Melissa, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, I loved hearing the John Facenda, so I'm feeling very pumped up and NFL-ish right now.
Oh, yeah, man. Isn't that awesome, man? His voice was definitely one of a kind, man. It's just, ooh, wow. Still,
yeah,
I mean, after
for
all
sure.
Those years, it's still, it, yeah, for sure. It just feels so good to hear his voice. Just, I mean, he could narrate the grocery list, and it would have been just fine. But thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. As I played earlier, The Autumn Wind, and the autumn wind was so fierce when the Raiders, being in Oakland, and you are a native of Oakland, California. Just tell me, what was the Raiders' impact like in the city of Oakland?
I mean, tremendous. It's sort of hard to describe in words, but there's just an essence of the Raiders, not only in the city of Oakland, but the surrounding areas, in a way that the 49ers never truly had in San Francisco proper. Like, theirs was kind of spread out a little more around the bay, where the Raiders has always been a little more concentrated. And there's just a thing, like you look at somebody and they're wearing a Raiders hat and you feel, you know, I'm not a Raiders fan per se myself, I've talked to a lot of the people in the infamous black hole, and it's like just a certain grit, a certain, you know, blue collarness about it in a really endearing way and in an intensity that, you know, you again feel that simpatico when you see other fans. It's just, it's tough and it's grit and it's autumn wind and it's cool to be a Raiders fan.
Yeah, you talk about grit and determination. That's what sums up the Raiders. And particularly, you mentioned their infamous fans and that cheering section, the black hole. You said you know some people that are in the black hole. I know throughout the years, the black hole has been intense for all intents and purposes. But can you describe to the listeners out there just the black hole and the mystique and the representation of those fans and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of their fans, his name is The Violator. He's actually based in L.A., and he's been there since the beginning. He was there when they were back in L.A., and so I've talked to him frequently, and he, including when they had their last game in Oakland. Well, they went back for another year, but when they thought they had their last game in Oakland. And but first of all, with him specifically, he's a guy that has come up for whatever, 30 years from LA, will come the night before, stay in a motel, and will spend literally 3 hours preparing himself for the game. I mean, full makeup, there's spikes involved, and it's the same look every time. And then there is either somebody named Spike, there's, you know, other fans, and they've become family, and they're, you know, some of their kids have gotten involved. So they've, you know, they've gone births and deaths and major life cycle events. And obviously the Raiders are what bond them, but you know, they've, you know, you talk about like fan clubs in certain places and those can be powerful, but these people actually like join together in the same section for all these years. And it's largely been represented by the same people, again, with maybe some children or whomever added to the bunch at various points.
Man, every time throughout the years of watching Raiders games, whether it be in Oakland or L.A. or whatever, I just look at those guys like, man, it's almost like Armageddon there. It's almost like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. It's like these fans really come out. They're, I mean, you talk about one of the most passionate fan bases in the National Football League, the Black Hole. I mean, they're definitely one of a kind. I want to stay just with the Raiders for a moment. You mentioned that you're not a Raiders fan. Who's your favorite team growing up? Who is currently your favorite team?
Yeah, it's actually the 49ers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's I mean, I've always respected the Raiders. But I grew up, kind of Steve Young in his heyday. I guess maybe the tail end of Joe. I mean, I was certainly well aware of Joe Montana, but really the Steve Young and then Terrell Owens. And, there's been a lot of dark years with the 49ers, there's been enough spurts, that they've reeled me in.
Solid. Well, let's stay particularly with the Bay Area and the National Football League. So with the 49ers and the Raiders, that rivalry has been around for so long, and particularly they represent not just a state, but they represent a particular geographic area in Northern mm-hmm. California and the Bay Area. What's the similarities, in your opinion, between the fans?
I got to say, not much. There's a very
not just similarities, but what I mean, what are the differences, I should say, between the Niners and Raiders fans?
I think the differences are pretty stark, and it's kind of why I sort of, squeamishly said 49ers, because of, those are lots of passionate fans, and obviously they run the range of different, races and genders and, income brackets and all of it, but generally, there is a pretty clear, socioeconomic split between Raiders fans and 49ers fans. But I will say that shifted, because the 49ers, when they were at Candlestick, you did have more of the rabid fans, not, looking to sit in luxury boxes. You had more of, I will embrace these horrible wins in this terrible stadium, probably maybe the worst stadium that's ever existed in the NFL. Those were, even the traffic patterns, I remember as a kid going to games at Candlestick, and it would literally take 3 hours just to get into the stadium because it was just so poorly designed, the traffic patterns. But those were the real, real, real hardcore fans. And now it's just split where, they moved the 49ers to Santa Clara, which for people who don't know, is 45 minutes away without traffic. So it doesn't, and it's in the middle of Silicon Valley. So now, sure, you have a lot of those people got priced out when they moved, and kind of this is very similar to what's happening with the Raiders moving to Vegas, but you have a lot of, tech people and a lot of people looking at luxury seats and wanting to make sure they have good menus on their apps that, concession people can bring them food. It's just a little bit more, they have luxury lounges, and obviously this is the trend in new stadiums, but it's a different, before the 49ers were good, before Kyle Shanahan, before the season last year, when they went to the Super Bowl, I went to cover certain games, maybe a couple a year. It was like a library in that stadium. They would announce them. There were people there, but they weren't there for football. They had, where's the Raiders? Yeah, conversely, even in, their darkest years, again, the Oakland Coliseum, maybe it's the second worst stadium to what Candlestick was, but, again, super hardcore fans. They live and breathe the Raiders, and that hasn't shifted. Now the fear, and again, the violator being, they've kind of, the Raiders have this really interesting relationship with the black hole, in that they don't want them, they don't like the optics of the black hole. Like, we think it's cool. We who have talked to, we meaning I'm just assuming the NFL zeitgeist at large thinks the optics of the black hole are cool and powerful, but there's been some, I guess, sense of are they dangerous? Are they this? They're not. They're just normal people who are really rabid fans. They're not out there with knives. They're not dangerous. They're not criminal in any way. They're just really into this particular tradition they have. But the Raiders are kind of, they didn't offer them anything in the move to Vegas. Like, you know, we'll grandfather you in for season tickets. We want to make sure in our new stadium that you guys have this little section to keep that tradition alive. They're getting priced out. So that, you know, when we have normal football again, normal football crowds again, and that stadium is truly open, you're not going to see the black hole as we've seen them in the past, which is very sad. You know, it's a very sad trend for the both Bay Area teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's very sad for both of those teams. It's very sad for a lot of NFL franchises when you build new stadiums and people get priced out. It just loses the essence of not just those markets, but it loses the essence of just the spirit. The spirit is really gone from those teams or from those franchises, from those fans that you're on those teams. We're going to talk more about Las Vegas in a little bit. You mentioned Candlestick Park. Man, I enjoyed watching games at Candlestick Park. I've got to ask you, what you mentioned about the location of Candlestick Park with the winds coming in from the bay and things of that nature. To the listeners out there, describe what was it like to watch a game at Candlestick Park.
Well, from a logistics standpoint, from a food standpoint, from any of that stuff, it was horrible, just beyond terrible. From a fan standpoint, from a, like, feeling the power. I guess I would say it's like, you know, you look at all those East Coast teams like the Bills and the Packers, and they're playing the snow and the fans are like so intense. It's kind of like was like the West Coast version of that. Like you felt like I'm not supposed to be outside right now, but I'm braving. I know it's the Bay Area and it's not snowing, but the winds, whatever. I'm braving these to cheer on this team, whether they're good or bad. And the players loved playing there too. So even I used to do a yearly thing, interview on my podcast with Joe Staley, the left tackle who retired last year. And he just talked about, he was just super honest. He's like, if Candlestick was so much better playing there than Levi Stadium. There's just an electricity. It was smaller, more intimate. The seats were closer together just because of the poor design. But it was, honestly, I have so many amazing memories of being there. In fact, probably one of my most recent was as a fan in, I didn't cover this game. I went as a fan in the divisional game in 2011 or 2013, sorry, the Alex Smith Vernon Post game against the Saints, that divisional game was just like one of the most amazing moments, being there and the electricity. I just felt, there were a lot of celebrities in the crowd and, you know, obviously like rich people who could afford tickets, but those were still like the vestiges of real fans in this like intense moment. And, you know, it felt like at Candlestick, the 49ers fans like represented a fan base really well. And I don't feel the same about Levi Stadium at this point.
Yeah, I remember just the years of watching the games at Candlestick from the 80s and the 90s and until it sadly closed. It just looked so intimate. It just looked like a football game. Again, despite, you know, like you mentioned, the logistics of it, because originally it was the original home. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It was the original home of Major League Baseball, San Francisco Giants. They shared a stadium for so many years with the Giants, and they had that baseball setup. But, you know, as they say, sometimes you try to build and you try to make things bigger. Sometimes bigger isn't always better. In certain cases, it isn't always better. But let's say you mentioned that the logistics were terrible, and you also mentioned about the food. What were the food options served at the Stick?
I mean, it was just kind of your generic, like, hot dogs. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, hot dogs, nachos, but, like, the cheese would be cold already. It would get cold inherently because of the winds, but, like, it would be served cold. And just, you know, the line, you know, they didn't have enough vendors and the lines would be really long. And so it's one of those things that you just be like, don't eat there. Like, just eat in advance, just like tailgate, and then just don't be hungry. And like, also don't try not to use the restroom, because that's another lie. It was just, they didn't have the right infrastructure. I actually took my my husband for our anniversary. It was the year after that divisional game, and they wound up losing to the New York Giants in the NFC Championship, and then the Giants went on to beat the Patriots. And so we went back to Candlestick because my husband had never seen it. We knew Candlestick was going to get demolished, and it was actually against the Giants, which is why I bring them up, because I remember this woman yelling, like, this drunken one Giants fan behind us. But I really wanted to know my husband, the stadium, before. And he just, like, couldn't believe how crappy it was. It was like they put a bunch of, like, high school bleachers and, like, just pushed them all together. So even if you're, like, trying to go from one part of the stadium to the other, it was not like you just walk in a circle. It's like you had to go down certain bleachers and up and down certain sections, and it just was very, very poorly designed. But I loved it.
Yeah, it looked, again, you mentioned about just it being poorly designed. It was beautiful just to watch games. It's just like people really enjoyed it. Just again, I miss the old setup of the stick in a lot of NFL stadiums where it had that multi-purpose feel with the baseball diamond, but the football design to it. It's really beautiful. It just makes for a better game, an old school game. But, you know, as I said, it's an era that's long gone. But you mentioned about Candlestick, Levi's. You know, Levi's is the new and improved stadium in Santa Clara. What's your take on Levi's?
Yeah, I think I kind of feel the same as Joe Staley. It doesn't feel, you don't feel the electricity there. It's, first of all, it's again, talk about poor design. I mean, it's a beautiful stadium in the sense that, you know, it has all the amenities that you want in a modern stadium, I guess. But the way it was designed, and it can get really sunny there. So in those preseason games and in August and even into September, especially with global warming, it can drag on a little bit. Just how, you know, these just huge patches of sun, and it's kind of a glare sometimes for the players. And so you have that going on. And then just from a fan standpoint, again, it's really been taken over by a lot of tech people. I have a friend, for example, and her husband's, like, you know, done well and had some company acquired by Google. And she was talking to me about how, you know, they got tickets and they went to this game, and, you know, it was a bunch of them and none of them knew anything about football. And one of the guys was like, oh, yeah, there was some quarterback in here that came to say hi, and his name was Joe, and it was actually Joe Montana, and they, like, didn't even know who that was. And I'm hearing this, and I'm like, that's so cool, you get to go. But, like, oh, that's, like, 10 people who aren't real fans being there that just got to go because they have the money and the connections. And it seems like there's so much of that obviously, again, there's certainly, you know, a large collection of real fans, but – you know, when you start getting these personal seat licenses and you make them really expensive because you're in the heart of Silicon Valley and the Bay Area has so much wealth and there are so many people that can afford it, you know, you just really price out the real fans. And so, again, like, I would go the first couple years of Levi's and, you know, like, there'd be a bad call, for example, and you would say, you know, this is me in the press box, right, covering the game. So I'm not, you know, I'm very good. Like, I think a lot of journalists that admit their fandom, I can go to a game as a 49er fan and then I can sit in the press box and be completely objective and write whatever it is I need to write. But I remember being in the press box and there was, like, a clear, like, defensive holding, for example, that wasn't called. And I remember even people in the press box were like, oh, defensive holding. And they showed on the replay on this, like, big, beautiful screen, and, like, you barely hear anything from the fans. I mean, you take that same replay, wow, and you put it in Kansas City or Buffalo. I mean, those fans are going bonkers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know the team was not good. You know, obviously they got rid of Harbaugh, and then they had a few, you know, Jim Tomsula and Chip Kelly didn't exactly inspire the fan base. But, you know, it's gotten better. I think a lot of it has honestly been – you know, Kyle Shanahan is great. Obviously, the team, you know, made such strides last year. And I think a little bit by obviously, you know, you have the real fans, you know, some of them are still coming. And then you, I think by osmosis, like people in the area are maybe just like learning a little bit more about football, I guess, because it's there and that's, you know, like a big deal in that part of the Bay Area.
Wow, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I can't believe that gentleman just said that some guy named Joe. Some guy named Joe. I mean, come on, man. That's
yeah.
Joe Cool. I mean, Joe Montana. Wow. As you said, there's big differences in the fan bases between the Stick and Levi's. I want to – we mentioned about the two stadiums, and I want to get back to Oakland in particular. The Oakland County Coliseum, again, the Raiders, similar to what the 49ers did back in the day with the San Francisco Giants, they shared Candlestick Park. Where the Raiders mm-hmm. shared the Coliseum with the Oakland A's, the Oakland Athletics of Major League Baseball. Matter of fact, currently, as this interview was airing, the A's still play at the Coliseum. Give me your take on the Oakland Coliseum and some of what you liked, what you didn't like, similar to how you described Candlestick Park as far as logistics and food and things of that nature.
Yeah, it's not. I actually like the Oakland Coliseum as a football stadium. First of all, logistically, you know, people hate BART, the Bay Area Rapid, you know, the train system in the Bay Area, which is, that's a whole other conversation because it should be far more robust than it is. However, one of their stops is the Oakland Coliseum. So it's, you know, when you're talking about the cities that are east of San Francisco with Oakland as the nucleus, but you go further east, they have all these BART stations. So people can just hop on that and get off and you're at the game. And I love that in any city. I think it's so cool when you're like traveling with a pack of fans, just that part of it. It's like almost, you know, your inherent pregame right there. So that part's cool and easy. And, you know, it just has a different, it's not as uncomfortable there. It's definitely far from luxurious, and it's a pretty ugly stadium, and it does have the lines, you know, from a football perspective, it always had the lining from the baseball for the first few months of the season, and it was really, you know, ugly and confusing to, you know, opposing teams always talk about it. But, for, you know, that's not, there's it's bare bones. It's like when you go to a, you know, if you rent an Airbnb, and you're not, you know, you're not getting the luxury property, but you're getting the property that's like a little musty, a little funky, but like it's clean, you know. You're getting like it's fine, like it does the trick, and you're, you know, like on the beach, right? Like you're there for the beach. So as long as your house isn't disgusting, it's fine. Like, and that's kind of what it is. Like you're there truly for the football. And people, the Raiders fans are not going to the stadium looking for, you know, fancy, like, lounges where they can, like, follow their fantasy football teams while they're the actual game that they're at is going on, unlike Levi's Stadium and other places. Now, I don't have any clue what it's going to be like in Las Vegas. I'm definitely don't think it will be the same in terms of the type of fan that's there. But, yeah, it was just, like, very – it was, like, fine. And it just was based on the game experience. But for the Raiders, you knew win, lose, whatever, tie, you're going to have that, like, collective fan experience that you don't necessarily get at Levi's because it's, you know, there's just more real fans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's stay with the Coliseum for a moment. You mentioned about the dining options that were at Candlestick Park. What were the dining options like at the Coliseum?
I mean, I think pretty similar, just sort of your standard, you know, fare. I think it's just kind of come up in the last couple of years where these stadiums are really trying to emulate baseball. You know, Major League Baseball was light years ahead. And I will say, like, Candlestick versus the Oakland Coliseum for baseball, Candlestick was doing garlic fries. Candlestick was doing vegan options because they, you know, knew that sort of that there was a little more of, like, I guess a foodie crowd and to attract fans. The Coliseum never, even now, baseball games, they don't really care. They're just like, here's your kind of standard stuff. I mean, there's, you know, maybe some more intricate, like, nachos than just dumping cheese on them or whatever. You know, but it's you're not there for the food as a Raiders fan. If you're a Raiders fan and you're going to the Oakland Club, this is actually making me really sad because I'm realizing that this doesn't actually exist anymore. But you're going and, you know, you're there for the game. You're there to, like, high five your fellow fans, or you're there to, like, scream at the officials and all the things that, like, hardcore fans do.
All right, right. And as you mentioned about the differences between the Niner fans and the Raider fans. It definitely reflected also in the dining options as well. As you mentioned, at the stick, there would be garlic fries and vegan options and things of that nature. Raider fans, not so much, but thank you for explaining that. And let's stay now just with transitions. Every NFL team has gone through transitions. Do you remember, what I should say is this, are you old enough to remember the first transition that the Raiders went through when it went from Oakland to Los Angeles?
Not really, unfortunately. I mean, I know it happened, but yeah, I wasn't really around enough or with it, knowing enough about this then. I don't know how old I was. I guess if you told me the year, but then I don't want to play that game because then I'll reveal my age. So,
Well, fair enough. Well, let me ask you: do you remember the Raiders' time in Los Angeles?
Very, very, very mildly. I mean, not really.
Okay, that's no problem. Okay, well, I mean, the Raiders had several transitions during their franchise. The first move, they went from Oakland to L.A. Of course, Al Davis, who was a rebel and a renegade owner in his own right, representing the old AFL, wanted a new stadium in Oakland. He didn't get it, wound up moving the team to L.A., and, of course, with the Antitrust Act and things of that nature. Now, Oakland did come back. In the mid-90s, and they had a nice run in their second run in Oakland. Do you remember kind of like the second run in Oakland? I know you grew up a Niners fan and still are a Niners fan, but do you kind of remember what the second era in Oakland was like?
Like the John Gruden era?
The John Gruden era, yes.
Yeah, I do. You know, in fact, I know it was 95, I believe, when they moved back, and just a few years later, they were in the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I wasn't like covering the team, but I and to be quite frank, while I'm from the area, I actually moved in 2001. Because I was a producer at ESPN, like my first job out of college, or I guess my second, because I worked in radio in the Bay Area, the big station. So that's when I did start actually covering the 49ers and the Raiders and the San Francisco Giants. But yeah, I mean, I remember. I will say one of my memories, and it must have been like. Right, maybe in 2000 or something. I remember I parked in the media parking lot at the Oakland Coliseum, and my windshield was smashed, and I was a little bit terrified of that team. I don't know. I was just very – everything about that team, like it was John Gruden, you know, Al Davis, and which is – this is the craziest thing in the world to me. I was intimidated by Amy Trask, who I'm friends with now, who's like the sweetest, most amazing, giving person – in the world, you know, the former CEO of the Raiders. But I think because I was like, you know, I didn't know her. I had dealt with her, and I just thought she was like so brilliant, but I thought she was serious. And, you know, I was just starting out my career. I was so intimidated by her and just the whole thing. I at that point in my life and my career, I was just really intimidated by the fans, by that team, by, you know, games I would cover, and all the old school Raiders would be there, except for Jim Plunkett. Jim Plunkett was like very warm and not, you know, like, yeah, he was always like, hey, you know, kind of like a big Santa Claus, like, hey, everybody. And it wasn't like the other, you know, the other guys were, not nice. There's like a mystique about that team, and that's sort of my first memories of them in their returned to Oakland, being exposed to them, and in a certainly from a media standpoint.
All right, cool. So now the Raiders had a successful second run in Oakland, of course, with the John Gruden having two runs in Oakland. His first one was a successful one. Didn't get to the Super Bowl, but then the second, they hired him back later on towards the end of the second run in Oakland. And unfortunately, again, as when Al Davis was around, rest in peace, Al Davis, the first time he moved his team to L.A., unable to come to agreement with the Oakland City Council to get a new stadium. This time, his son Mark and other people in Raiders management, they tried with the Oakland City Council to get a new stadium. They were unsuccessful in that. They looked at other NFL cities. Las Vegas presented the best option for the franchise with taxes and things of that nature. So it became official on January 22nd, 2020. The Raiders had relocated to Las Vegas and became the Las Vegas Raiders. So, again, I think it was just similar to how you felt when the 49ers moved from Candlestick Park to Levi's Stadium. I mean, a lot of Raider fans were just dejected. When I think of the Raiders, I think of Oakland, but now they're in Las Vegas. Can you kind of tell me, just covering that story or a connection that you may have had, what was just that transition like going from Oakland to Las Vegas for that franchise?
Well, it's obviously come at the strangest of times with the pandemic, and I don't think we fully grasp it yet because they haven't been playing. You know, they haven't had like the grand unveiling with a full stadium, and we don't know what the makeup of their fans are going to be like, or the camaraderie of, you know, for all NFL teams, the Raiders included. This was an abnormal year, but you don't have the same camaraderie. A lot of the rookies have talked about it on the Raiders and other franchises. Like, they're not in the locker room like playing cards, and you know, they had all these very strict protocols. Get in, take your COVID test, do your practice, go home, don't hang out. You know, it's basically the edict. So they didn't have that kind of like bonding experience that you would, you know, you'd like to hear from. You know, I wonder if we weren't in COVID times, like who would be hanging out in Vegas, and how, you know, what would the scene be like for them? What would everyone's life be like? Would they all be golfing together every day? Would they be casinos? So would they be out and about among the people? Who knows what we would have on social media, good, bad, otherwise. I feel like there would just be more of a sense of community, but we're not there yet. Hopefully we'll be there in the fall to really grasp what that is. I do know from the Oakland perspective, and again, a lot of this is through the eyes of the violator, who, by the way, he wrote an op-ed for my website when the Raiders left, just about the sadness and the disconnect after 30 years of fandom. I do know that is a very big missing piece, and I don't, because of COVID, I don't think people gave it as much thought, but I think when we actually start to see these full stadiums next year and the black hole is not part of it, I think that's going to be, I think I'll be interesting to see how sort of jarring that is for the players that have been in both stadiums, to see just a completely different type of fan base. I guess any fan base is better than no fan base, but it's definitely not the 12th man, or however you want to say it, that they have been accustomed to over all these years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it happens. But I know when I heard the move, man, I thought that I was just, it was horrible. Because, I mean, that, as I said earlier, that franchise belongs to Oakland. It's the embodiment of Oakland and that particular area in the East Bay. So definitely interesting how everything is going to play out in the future. But let's talk now about, speaking about futures, I want to talk about Drew Brees for a moment. Drew Brees has been, in my opinion, Drew Brees has been not just the greatest free agent in the history of the NFL, but really the greatest free agent in all of professional sports. We don't know yet what his future holds in the NFL, but we do know that if, in fact, he's played his last game, Melissa, what are the things that you'll remember Drew Brees for throughout his NFL career?
Well, yeah, I think it's all the signs are pointing to him retiring. And quite frankly, I hope he does, because he just isn't there anymore. You know, the arm just isn't strong enough anymore. But yeah, there's obviously the Super Bowl. But what I remember him for the most, and I actually did, when I was at Sports Illustrated, I did a whole oral history on this. I remember how he wasn't there yet. He hadn't been in New Orleans that long, and then Katrina hit, and the work that he did in the community and how he ingratiated himself to the whole city through, you know, his relief efforts, and which continued for years and years. That's what I remember. I've never seen a person that like isn't from a city just become that city like that. I mean, Sean Payton as well, but Drew Brees, I mean, he grabbed the heart of everyone, and he felt it, and he was very, very genuine during that period. So that's, you know, that's the main thing I remember him for. I also remember him just being a complete like fantasy beast for so many years. I'm just remembering those, like when he had Devery Henderson, like all these, like just like making a thing of so many different receivers, just making, obviously he's had Michael Thomas the last few years. So there's, you know, that who would be a stud on any team, but I just feel like he was so good at elevating receivers and just being, you know, again, just being such a, like a pillar of his community. Like, you see what Tom Brady's doing this year, right? It's obviously it's amazing at 43, and he probably won't retire. And even in New England, like obviously the Patriots fans adored him beyond belief, but you never like felt like, I didn't feel like he represented Boston. I don't feel like he represents Tampa as amazing as he is, but I feel like if I'm like, Drew Brees has to be from New Orleans. Like, he has New Orleans in his blood. Like, that was Drew Brees to me, or is Drew Brees to me.
Yeah, rightfully so. I think Drew is definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer, just what he's done, not just on the field, but like you said before, just even what he's done in the New Orleans community. And hopefully when he decides to hang it up, whenever that is, we don't know, but he definitely has a place in Canton one day. And another quarterback that was impacted, well, a quarterback that was a part of the class of 2004 with Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. Uh-huh. Philip Rivers recently announced his retirement. Of course, Philip Rivers played so many years with the Chargers in the San Diego and the Los Angeles era, and in one season with the Colts. Now, it was interesting because when the franchise was in San Diego, he backed up Drew Brees for about several years, and he finally got a chance to start. And what I remember about Philip Rivers was that big on numbers. Philip Rivers had a lot of – he put up big numbers, but he never came through in the big games. And what I remember the class of 04, or during his time when he was competing, the Manning brothers, Roethlisberger, you could put Drew Brees in there as well. And Joe Flacco, even at time, all have won championships. He never got a chance to win his title. Just give me your thoughts on Philip's career.
Yeah, I feel like he was kind of like Larry Fitzgerald, or I think of Frank Gore, like someone you just like always want. Like, a person feels like they need to have one Super Bowl at least, you know. And that's, I mean, his talent, his arm was amazing. He was always, you know, he never got the attention he deserved because he was in a small market in San Diego for most of his career. But yeah, it was interesting because he would have so many interesting comebacks in the regular season. He could extend plays as well as anyone, even though he wasn't obviously like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson in terms of escapability, but he still had that. But it feels like he's always been a little overshadowed. I know he's been to, I think, 8 Pro Bowls. He certainly has a lot of, you know, impressive numbers over the years. But yeah, to see him, you know, never make us be in a Super Bowl is kind of, you know, I don't know. where that puts him in terms of what ballot Hall of Fame, if any. But, you know, when you compare him to these other quarterbacks you mentioned and just other quarterbacks that are around the same age, and he, because of not having that Super Bowl, it's kind of hard to think of him as any, you know, automatic for Canton, in my opinion. But very fun to watch, and you know, great attitude, and you know, it would have been nice to see him on in a bigger market.
Yeah, you know, Philip Rivers, when he was competing, he had so much competition with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, and you could put Joe Flacco in there as well. He just had so much competition, especially when the Chargers were making the playoffs during those eras. It was tough to win in the AFC when Indianapolis and New England were just running it. It was tough, but I see himself, he will definitely be in Canton one day. Before I let you go, Melissa, you mentioned about – we mentioned about Philip playing in San Diego and in L.A. with the Chargers. Can you describe the atmosphere between the differences between Charger games in San Diego and Los Angeles?
Well, you mean in the last few years, the Chargers?
Just in general. In your experiences, it could be the last several years or just any experiences that you may have had.
I mean, I think there's a sadness, too. It's not exactly apples to apples with the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, but, you know, those Chargers fans, they were very passionate and loyal. The ones in San Diego there's a split. And at Los Angeles and San Diego, while they're only, you know, a couple hours from each other driving, those are very different markets in terms of, you know, who the people are and what they're passionate about. And, you know, they were able, you know, it wasn't the biggest fan base in the world. Although if you were someone in London or something and you wanted to pick a team, you know, they'd be like just a cool kind of underdogish team, sort of always, you know, overshadowed by maybe some more rabid fan bases like in their division, like the Raiders and the Chiefs, and I guess maybe even the Broncos, but they were right up there. And then you felt that attending games, and then LA, I mean, it's still figuring out. I don't know how you build a new fan base in LA when you're competing with the Rams, who also are struggling to build a legitimate fan base. It's all, you know, the whole Kroenke project. And it's kind of been very sad to watch. I understand the economic benefit for the league and those particular owners, but it feels like both of those fan bases have been very watered down, and it, you know, from an optics, from a passion, from a fan standpoint, has been very bad for football. And definitely the Chargers, who were like now sort of like the ugly stepsister in Los Angeles.
You know, they always said that the two biggest markets in the country would have NFL football once again. New York has been able to be sustainable, but L.A. would always have NFL football again. L.A. has NFL football once again. They've had it for the last several years. Before I let you get on, how you get Melissa, we've seen New York and L.A. have NFL teams. Is there a strong possibility that the NFL could return to San Diego and Oakland in the future?
I mean, it would have to require, I think, a lot of private funding and new stadiums. I don't know if either place has the infrastructure. I don't see a team coming to a place like Oakland. Maybe San Diego. But I don't see the need in San Diego if you're looking for a new market, because again, I still think there's a loyalty to the Chargers that were there, and it's so close to Los Angeles that they've kind of checked off that market. For the Bay Area, I can't envision another team coming here and supplanting the feelings people have toward the Raiders and expecting people to support a new team. I mean, I think the next new franchise we're going to see is Jacksonville in London, but I hope you have no British people or Jacksonville people, I should say, listening, because they're going to be I'm sorry to them. They always get mad when I say that, but I've done a lot of reporting on it, and that's where I think that the NFL is looking next versus trying to like replenish stadiums and places where they haven't deemed them to be successful in the past from a financial standpoint.
Okay, fair enough. And you heard it from her. She is Melissa Jacobs. She is the host of the TFG podcast, The Football Girl. And Melissa, thank you so much once again for being on the program. Tell everybody what you do with the TFG podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So the Football Girl podcast, TFG podcast, is as you like to call it. I called that too, so it's all good. But I started a couple years ago. And the general idea, it just sort of like the Football Girl website, is to really spotlight women under the NFL's umbrella. If your eyes are open, you might notice we're about to have our first female official. There's going to be two female full-time coaches that coach for the Bucks in the Super Bowl. There's, you know, female analysts and, almost every team has women who cover it. And I just want to help elevate voices and sort of give this sense collectively that, you know, we are part of a very massive part of the conversation. So I try to reserve the platform mostly for that. I'll sprinkle the occasional man in there here and there for example, I talked to, back when Ryan Shazier was hurt, I spoke to his father, about his experience. But yeah, I mean, the podcast is certainly trying to appeal to the, 47% of the NFL fan base that are women and feel like they have a home, but we break down, the conversations are very football heavy too. So it's not, there's no real fluff. And I will say too, that some people love this, some people hate this, but we do transcend the game and talk about, some societal and political issues from time to time too, because that meets my interests. And I don't think, as we've seen recently, that you can make the argument that football is a separate entity, separate from politics and other societal issues.
Yeah, rightfully so. Definitely. Sports and politics have always gone hand in hand, and they continue to go hand in hand. It always shapes, not just America, but really the world in general. So good for what you do at the Football Girl podcast. So again, tell everybody where they can find the Football Girl podcast on social media. If you have a website, let them know that as well. And where they can find you on social media. And if you have a website, let them know that as well.
Yeah. So the Football Girl is how you can find me. I'm the Football Girl on Twitter, and I'm pretty active. My husband would probably say I'm too active on there. And then the Football Girl podcast, you can find links to it on the Football Girl website, where we have some other articles and cover fantasy and things like that. But hopefully you can also find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts: Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts. If you can't find it, if you're looking for it and you can't find it, please find me on Twitter at the Football Girl and tell me so I can remedy that. But it should be anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
You heard it from her. She is Melissa Jacobs. She is the host of the Football Girl podcast. She's an Oakland native, and also she loves her 49ers. And we had the opportunity to talk with her about the Raiders move, also for some 49ers stuff, and also two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Drew Brees and Philip Rivers. Check her out at the Football Girl podcast and on the various social media platforms. Melissa, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. This was great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after this.
The trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch. Now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's going to make me want to go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.
The thing about comparing rates at Progressive.com is that by now you've heard a lot of ads about comparing rates at Progressive.com. We probably don't even need the words comparing rates anymore to remind you that seasoning steaks at Progressive.com is an easy way to save on car insurance, or that swimming in trousers helps you find the lowest rate. And that's the thing about foraging for truffles. You've heard a lot of ads about standing tiptoe on a cinder block. Compare rates and sing softly to a wounded field mouse and save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's your home, and I need to ask you a few favors. In the kitchen, there's a spider stuck between the window and the screen, and I know it's dead, and technically it's outside, but it's still freaking me out. Can you flick it out or something? Also, just to save some money, and it's super easy, could you bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO? Last thing, could you take the holiday decorations down? Yeah, I'm one of those.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
Hi, I'm Tia.
The upstairs-downstairs neighbor dynamic is so special. We have our own language. Like when I scream at my mom on the phone, the people downstairs bang on the ceiling to show their support.
The nighttime's the best time to rearrange furniture.
I call it midnight feng shui.
And if I sleep through my alarm in the morning, they bang on my door to wake me. So thoughtful.
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor, but we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hey, it's your home, and I need to ask you a few favors. In the kitchen, there's a spider stuck between the window and the screen, and I know it's dead, and technically it's outside, but it's still freaking me out. Can you flick it out or something? Also, just to save some money, and it's super easy, could you bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO? Last thing, could you take the holiday decorations down? Yeah, I'm one of those.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
My name's Barry. I live right above you.
I don't host parties. I host after parties. They're like parties, only louder and nobody goes home.
You can see right here, I ripped out all the carpeting because it was holding me back my pogo stick. Man's got a pogo.
Oh, I'm a prankster. I'll grease up a soda can and then when somebody grabs it, boom!
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor, but we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
For the ones who know that a little late is always too late, and that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, and our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hi, friend. It's your home speaking, and I need some favors.
could you turn on some of the lights in the basement? I'm scared of the dark. Also, this one is easy. Could you bundle your home and car insurance with Geico so we could save money? Last thing, just a suggestion. Could you steam clean the carpets? I need a spa day.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is getting up to use the bathroom at the stadium.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Oh, sorry. Excuse me? You mind if I just squeeze by here?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody. Our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch! Now kick!
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. Geico makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me want to go jab and jab.
Nope. Your Geico claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. Geico. Great service without all the drama.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. But if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Progressive Motorcycle presents Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
You never really stop riding in your mind. Unless you're thinking of something else.
Like other thoughts.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents Roadside Assistance. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody. Our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch! Now kick!
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. Geico makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me want to go jab and jab.
Nope. Your Geico claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. Geico. Great service without all the drama.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film. Powder donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous walrus. The bulbous walrus.
The Name Your Price tool. Only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, friend. It's your home speaking, and I need some favors. Could you turn on some of the lights in the basement? I'm scared of the dark. Also, this one is easy. Could you bundle your home and car insurance with Geico so we could save money? Last thing, just a suggestion. Could you steam clean the carpets? I need a spa day.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me! My car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with Geico, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
Hey, it's your home, and I need to ask you a few favors. In the kitchen, there's a spider stuck between the window and the screen, and I know it's dead, and technically it's outside, but it's still freaking me out. Can you flick it out or something? Also, just to save some money, and it's super easy, could you bundle your home and car insurance with Geico? Last thing, could you take the holiday decorations down? Yeah, I'm one of those.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Oh, All right, everybody, welcome. Well, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the Robinson Show. A big special thank you to Melissa Jacobs, the host of the Football Girl podcast, and also a contributor to The Guardian. She has given her take on the Raiders' impact in Oakland, and also the transition to Las Vegas, and also talking about her beloved San Francisco 49ers and so much more. Once again, a big special thank you to Melissa Jacobs from the She's the host of the Football Girl podcast. Check her out on the various social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's going to do it for the program. I'm Ed Robinson, and remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Want to keep little hands busy at home? The Home Depot has free kids workshop kits with everything you need to get started. Pick up a new one in-store starting the first Saturday of every month. Then head to homedepot.com/kids for a project guide that's easy to follow along with, plus loads of other kid-friendly content. Kids can't wait to get their hands on them. Find out more at homedepot.com/kids. Free kids workshop kits only from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Everyone loves shopping online. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my golf buddies when they buy clubs. Stop searching for coupon codes. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Plus, it's free, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole in one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a soap opera star.
Gracious me, my car has storm damage and I've had to file a claim. Could it possibly get worse? Will my claims team leave me for someone else? Someone less intense?
No. Actually, when you file a claim with GEICO, you get your own dedicated claims team who promises to stay with you throughout the process.
Oh, I've never known such loyalty. I can't wait for the second season.
GEICO. Great service without all the drama.
Progressive Motorcycle presents
Road Wisdom from the Motor.
Half man, half motorcycle.
In life, there's no stopping.
Don't stop.
But if you do, make sure no one is behind you.
All clear.
Progressive Motorcycle also presents basic policy starting at $79 a year. Progressive Motorcycle, for those who were born to ride. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy is not available in all states.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Hey, it's your home, and I need to ask you a few favors. In the kitchen, there's a spider stuck between the window and the screen, and I know it's dead, and technically it's outside, but it's still freaking me out. Can you flick it out or something? Also, just to save some money, and it's super easy, could you bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO? Last thing, could you take the holiday decorations down? Yeah, I'm one of those.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired fitness celebrity Billy Blanks.
Okay, everybody, our car just got a broken windshield. How about we blow off some steam? Now punch, now kick.
Mr. Blanks, there's no need to be stressed. GEICO makes it easy to file a claim online, on the app, or over the phone.
Yeah, but what if I never hear back? That's gonna make me wanna go jab and jab.
Nope. Your GEICO claims team is always there for you.
Okay, do I still get my post-workout protein shake?
Sure, Billy. GEICO, great service without all the drama.